The Big Mango. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to Women, Body, and Soul with Natalie Tondaway back. Well, I was going to say in 2 weeks, but in 2 weeks we will be in a fundraising drive. More about that as the days unfold. All right, it's 1 p.m. in New York City, 80 degrees at 1 o'clock, 99.5 FM, WBAI and WBAI.org. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We've been talking about childhood. We've been talking about some of the ordeals of childhood. And we began talking about, and I've talked about before, birth order. Now, birth order, even though we may have discussed this before, I think it's always worth taking a look at it. The effects of birth order on your personality. Do you know that you could virtually predict what's going to happen in a relationship by figuring out what a person's birth order is? Birth order is a kind of a funny thing. We've forget about what you've learned in determining the effect of birth order, because birth order is just one part of something, but there's a new way of looking at it, and the new way of looking at it involves including a person's other factors in their lives. So there are all these basics of a birth order personality, but then of course it could change. There are a lot of factors that could affect it. So you might be the only child, of course, and then another child gets born. Or you could be a child who's part of an adoption or a remarriage, and you get bumped either up or down. Imagine you're the only child, and then your mother marries somebody who's got six children all older than you. What happened? You were the only child. Which is your personality? It all depends on the age that this happens to you. After age two, it's kind of stuck into where you are. But of course, if you're an only child, you're never stuck, because somebody down the line could easily have another baby. One of your parents could have another baby, and then you become an older child instead of an only child. But there are very predictable things. In the studio again with me, Stephanie Ross, helping me out doing the research today, and she's a specialist in working with children. Other things that affect people is like the death of a parent. Early on could change things. That could bump a child. The death of a sibling, which we talked a little about yesterday. And whether there's a gap in between people. And you know about ghost children? Do you know what a ghost child is? Ghost child is a really interesting thing. A ghost child is a child that wasn't born. Stillborn child, aborted child. So very often in a family, a person has a ghost child present. And when a ghost child is present, the person who feels like the only child may not be the only child, because they could have an older. We're going to go over personality types. I mean, just to give you an example, if you understood the birth order personality of people, let's say related to some aspect of it, and Stephanie was bringing me some of the latest research on it. Like, you would imagine that everybody feels the same when somebody gets mad, you know, when you get angry. What makes you angry? But, you know, according to what your birth order is, meaning what position you were born in, if you're one of the 87% of the people who have siblings and 13% of the people who don't are only children, you got to be in there somewhere. So there's an only child, there's a firstborn, a secondborn, a thirdborn, a fourthborn. There could be many, many borns over and over again. But if you're in the average family, you've got three or four children in the family. So we're going to go with the average for now and maybe discuss more about what happens when you have a family of like 12. We'll get to that a little later. But let's look at anger. There are certain people that will react to anger very clearly in a very almost predetermined way. Let's go with this. Stephanie, who is more likely to be sensitive to one or another aspect that kind of makes them angry?
Well, each child in the birth order has different things that make them angry. So we all get angry whether we're firstborn, an only child. It's a matter of what makes us angry. So, for example, only children really get angry when they feel intruded upon, whether it's their space, their privacy. They get angry when they feel like someone is being intrusive.
That's the only born or the firstborn?
That's the only child.
So why would that be? An only child kind of believes that they live in a world of their own and they have control over the world. I would imagine that firstborn children also are sensitive to that because young kids are always intruding on them. But the intrusive quality of an only child. Any of you know an only child? Any of you only children? Are you oversensitive to people walking in without knocking on your door?
And something that is interesting is only children tend to sometimes be intrusive because they're not aware of other people's space often.
So this is another thing, is the way only children meaning you're the only kid in a family, so you're like, you're the cat's meow, you're the special thing, you get all of the attention. And therefore, you're kind of a prince or princess on your own, and you walk through, if there's a door that's closed, an only child may not be sensitive. In fact, only children tend to be kind of strong characters, don't you think, Stephanie?
Yes, they do tend to be strong characters. They're very confident. However, they're introverted. They tend to be introverted, which makes sense. They spend a lot of time alone as a child.
They also mature faster. They get along well with older people, you know, the only children. They are responsible. They're self-centered. They tend to be perfectionists. They are attention seekers. I saw somebody, yesterday I was watching a woman walking down the street. I was sitting having a cup of tea, and I was watching somebody who appeared like four times. And four times she was just darting back and forth and dressed in a way that was meant to say, look at me, and talking on a cell phone that said to everybody, notice me. And it was like she was so much looking for some kind of attention from people, parading herself to kind of get it. And probably it was unconscious, but looked to me like an only born. They use adult language too, you know, only borns. If you see only children, they prefer adult company rather than being around other kids. And only children have difficulty sharing. Well, that kind of makes sense. I mean, if you're an only child, you don't know anything about sharing. Armand DeMille with the positive mind. What about the others? How do they get angry? What makes the second-born, third-born, what makes them angry?
Well, I'll go in order, so I'll start with the first-born. So what makes...
Intrusion, you said. Oh, no, the second, I'm sorry. The only child deals with intrusion. Go ahead.
The firstborn, something that also makes sense, is they get angry to a lack of respect. Whether also, again, not just respecting themselves, but respecting them, their stuff, their privacy. So similar to an only child, but they need to be respected. And which makes sense. If you're the oldest, you have people looking up to you and you feel as though you should be respected and you should.
Well, in a way, as an older child, you tend to take on the role of the surrogate parent. You know, you really hate losing your position. You hate losing the position of the only child, because that was great. And then suddenly you have some kid born, and this child becomes your baby who's getting all the attention. So what do you do in order to get parents' attention? You take care of the child. Now, there's a lot of anger in the way you take care of that child because you did, you were usurped. You did get your second place. So what happens is you want that child to give you respect and see you as the elder. Therefore, you take care of them. But the one thing you want from them is show me the respect. Show me you acknowledge my power. And that's to compensate for your loss of power when you go from being an only child to an older child.
I have a funny story about that, actually. I'm the youngest in a family, and the oldest child in my family, instead of saying, say uncle, when he would play games, would say, we don't let you go till you say, I'm God. And so for about 10 years, that was how we always had to get stuff from my oldest sibling.
You had to say, you're God?
He had to be God.
You're God. Your God is the recognition. Good enough. What about the other person? So if you're second born, what do you...
Second born is very sensitive and become angry when they are criticized.
Yeah. Why do you think?
Well, they're trying to measure up to their older sibling. They're trying to find their own way and be recognized for their own, whether that's playing sports or dancing for their own self. They're trying to make a way. And so if they're criticized, they feel threatened that their place is being lost, that they're not being recognized, and that they're not measuring up. So that's what tends to make them the most angry, and they're the most sensitive to. And the third born is the most sensitive to being put down. Makes them angry when they feel put down.
It would seem that if you're a third born, right? Now here you are, you have an older brother or sister, and then you have a second older brother and sister who is a second born. Now, the second born was under the thumb of the first born all this time. Now it gets this new baby, and it wants this baby not to have the position of being the baby of the family, because if you're the second born, right, that means you are the baby, and your older sibling was not the baby. So you've got the special position of the baby. Now a new child comes along and you want to control it. You want to stop it from being the apple of anybody's eye. And without even knowing it, you know, the second born tends to put down the third born and to remind them you're just nothing. You're little. Stay down there. Don't even show your head in the nest. So what do? They become very sensitive to being put down, to be diminished, you know, because that's the only way that the family could survive is by diminishing you, not the family, but the other children.
And also they're being told what to do by two people, we're assuming third born. And so they're often delegated tasks. You need to do this, you need to do this. And they're used and they get handed down things that, like you were saying, the first child gives to the second child, gives to the third. So they become super sensitive to put downs because they're getting it from not only one person, but two.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. You know, I'll make you a bet. If you call me and you tell me your birth order position and the birth order position of somebody who you're related to, I can dig up some kind of information that will tell you a predictable exchange between the two of you, how you'd get along, how you wouldn't get along. For example, you know, we know that only children don't know how to get along with other people. They don't. The only people they really get along with is other only children. So now when you think about that, if 13% are only children, if 13% are only children, then they have to find part of that small group to really get along. You want to understand what it is to be alone, and you have somebody else who understands what it is to be alone. All right, so you can prepare your calls. Think about you, think about your mate, think about an ex-mate, think about an ex-lover, think about somebody you didn't get along with, you know, and then give me your birth order position, and then we will... I'll help you analyze it. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about birth order position and how it can predict relationships. let's talk more about, we were talking about what gets you angry. So you said in the third born, Stephanie, you said they get very sensitive to being put down. What about the fourth born, if there is one?
They get sensitive for when they're blamed for things. Also makes a lot of sense because it's easiest to blame the youngest child. Oh, mom, she did it. He did it. The youngest one is the least able to defend themselves. So they get very sensitive to blame.
But it would seem that once you're a third born, you get sensitive to, when you're the third born, you get sensitive to being put down, but the fourth born gets sensitive to blame. But for a while, when you're the third born, it's very confusing. You know what I mean? Because blame and put down, they're kind of the same. They kind of go with the same thing. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. But we know this about only children, you know? There are good things about only children. They trust their own opinions. They're prompt. They're ambitious. They're enterprising. You know, many presidents were only children and older children. They are prompt, ambitious, enterprising, energetic. They set goals. They're good problem solvers. They're ambitious. They're leaders. They choose careers similar to those of the firstborn children. They like law, medicine, architecture. And they like to work alone and be the boss, which accounts a lot for their success. But on the weak side, if you're an only child, you're self-centered. You're fearful of trying new things. You criticize yourself and others. You worry too much. You feel like you're always right. You're inflexible. You're too busy to see the big picture. So if you're going to date somebody, and if you're going to go out with somebody, and they're an only child, get ready for a little stubbornness. It's going to be there. You know, it tends to be there. They don't like to be told what to do. They stray from teamwork situations. When you have a teamwork thing, let's go rowing together. Let's go rafting or canoeing. You know, they tend not to get involved in it. They take too much of the responsibility as if they're the only ones that count. They may not respond well to criticism, and therefore they may not improve on areas where they're flawed. So it's kind of difficult. The only child, a difficult position to be in, you know, difficult because it's difficult to get through life as an only child. You owe it to your children to have more than one child, right? You stick them with having to be champions. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. So as we said, get ready for your phone calls, my friends. After our first half-hour break, we're going to go there. Now, firstborn children, right, are a little different than the only child because remember now, you've got kids following you. You tend to be a people pleaser. You tend to crave approval when you're a firstborn. You tend to nurture and you're a caregiver because the way you're going to get approval from your family is to take care of your younger siblings. They're reliable, they're conscientious, they're cooperative, they're team players. They have a grin and bear it mentality. If you're somebody who wants to be protected and you're somebody who's like a second or third born and you're looking for somebody who's going to take care of you, get a firstborn. Aggressive, these are the movers and shakers of the world. They're the natural leaders. They're perfectionists often. They tend to be conventional, you know, because a firstborn follows their parents. They want to be miniature parents, so they tend to follow your parents' value system. They always have things under control. There were not many firstborns at Woodstock. You know, that's where the secondborns and the thirdborns went. They tend to be assertive, you know, and they want things their way. They're energetic, they're logical, they're ambitious, they're enterprising, they're scholarly. But they have an innate fear of being dethroned, of course. If you're the top banana and your younger brother wins an award, there's a part of you that's not very happy about this. You don't want that person to have great skills. You don't want to be dethroned as the most important in the family. You feel as though you're never good enough. You know, as a firstborn, you're always trying harder than everybody else. And you tend to be selfish, selfish with your possessions and your attention because you don't want anybody else to take it away because you've already lost the prime spot. You don't like to be told what to do. You have a hard time with creative projects. Bosses, you know, when they recognize a firstborn, they give them a leadership position. But they don't ask them to be managers. Because as managers, frequently the firstborn will be not very good in managing. They'll be a little too aggressive. Famous firstborn people like Oprah Winfrey, Rush Limbaugh, Arsenio Hall, more than half the presidents of the United States were firstborns. 21 of 23 first astronauts were firstborns, right? And two-thirds of the entrepreneurs in the world are firstborn children. So that's the position, you know what I mean? So if your mom has you and you're an only child, your guards aren't as good as if, you know, you find out now you're the only child. You say to your mom, hey, mom, I want to become president. Have another baby, would you? Odds are not very good if I'm the only child, but if I'm a firstborn, the odds are pretty good. Oh, that contradicts what I said earlier, and I'm right. It's the firstborn, not the only children who become president. You know the other thing I realized the other day, Stephanie? I was trying to think back of the children of the current presidents. Okay. And I was thinking, you know, like Obama's got, what, two girls, right? And McCain has, I think, two girls.
I think so.
Two daughters. And then I went back in time, and everybody had daughters. Bush has daughters. Clinton has daughters. Except for George Bush Sr., he had two sons, if you want to call them that. And he did have two sons. But before that, they were almost all daughters. Most presidents have daughters. That's a funny thing.
Interesting.
Isn't it
interesting? Any more correlation?
Well, as to why?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's something in the genes, huh? So most of them are firstborns, and most of them have daughters as offspring. Maybe they just eat the baby boys so they don't have competition. Like sharks, you know? All right, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take your calls about relationships because I'm really curious about you and relationships. Let's talk about middle children. The second born, you know, if you're middle born, you tend to be... Middle children are quite often the most difficult children to both read and to raise. Middle children are quite often referred to as the mysterious middle child. And it's due part to the fact that there are two types of middle-born children. They're two different types. It's not one predictable type. These two types of middle-borns are not as clearly defined as firstborns. Firstborns are kind of easy. They don't have simple names. One type of middle-born child can be the loner, the quiet, the shy, the impatient, the uptight one.
Now, I have a question. You're saying middle-born child. So does that mean this is describing someone who has a younger sibling as well?
Yeah. You have an older sibling and a younger sibling.
And a younger sibling. So it's not just the second born.
Right. It could be second or third born. But you could be one of two kinds. You could be either the quiet, shy, impatient, uptight, withdrawn type is usually a middle born. Or you could be the opposite of that, which is outgoing, friendly, loud, you know, that kind of person. And that's the rebel, which is another way of getting through life. So the way that middleborns get through life is they kind of size up the situation. They say, I'm going to hide in a cave, or I'm going to get out there and travel the entire world, and I'm not going to stay home. So it's one of the two. The common traits with them that they all seem to have is they're flexible, they're diplomatic, they have a bit of rebelliousness, they are competitive because, of course, they're competitive, and they're peacemakers in many ways. They make peace on the good side. On the bad side, they hate confrontation, the second and third borns. They're stubborn, they're cynical, they're suspicious, and rebellious. They also do not do well in a hierarchical system. They don't like strict rules. They prefer to work at their own pace. They don't complete tasks on time necessarily. They're hard. It's very hard to corral them and get them to do things. This is Armand DeMille. You know, but if of course I'm going to say something about the last born. The last born child, which could be the fourth child or so on and so forth, the last born child tend to be the easiest to define when it comes to correlation between birth order and personality. This is mostly due to the fact that there's only one main type of last born. Are you ready? You're the last born, right?
I am.
Okay, they wear green. I'm only kidding.
I'm wearing green.
They wear green, right? No, they're risk takers. They're idealists. They have a good sense of humor. They're hardworking. They tend to be immature. They're attention-seeking. They're sensitive. And they're secretive. Out of 2, 4, 6, 8, out of 8, what do you think? You don't have to say which one is which. You think you score on risk-taker, idealist, good sense of humor, hardworking, immature, attention-seeking, secretive, and sensitive. Would you say above average in all those qualities?
Not in all of those qualities.
Below average in one or two?
Below average in one or two.
Not so secretive.
Right.
Right. And not so hardworking. And not so good sense of humor.
We know who has the sense of humor in this studio today.
Oh, you have the sense of humor. You've got a terrific sense of humor. Last-born children are often considered the baby of the family. They live up to the role. At times, it's difficult for the last-born to find their place in the family or their place in the world. Because, you know, they're like, I'm the child of the world. I'm the baby here, you know. But they're outgoing, they're sociable, they're affectionate, they're caring, they're creative, empathetic, and confident. And, you know, some of them do the perfect thing, which is what I think you did, Stephanie. You know, you become somebody who learns. And look at what you did. As the youngest born, you became a specialist in working with adolescents. You created younger children.
True.
You know, you did. And so you stepped out of your younger born role, and you now have younger children everywhere because that's what you treat. You treat mostly adolescents and people younger than you are. Makes a lot of sense. See how we correct things when we're smart? But they tend to be spoiled, manipulative, immature, self-centered, and capricious. And that's usually when they're not psychologically developed. You could really see that. The capricious part you could see in the self-centered part, that kind of spoiled attitude. They don't like to be tied down to commitment, and they try too hard at times. Sometimes they're the odd one out. You know, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to talk a little more when we get back from our break. We're going to talk about twins, an odd thing. Twins, such a strange thing. One wonders, you know, that we haven't even scratched the surface in our understanding. But primarily what we're going to talk about is relationships. Yes, my friends, you have a friend. If you're, for example, if you're an older child, I'll bet your friends are second borns, you know, and tend not to be older children.
What about your mates?
Well, that's what we're going to go to. We're going to go to who your mates are, and we're going to talk about that because it's one big factor. There are 25 types of marriage according to birth order if we consider five children or four children, right? So there's the only child who gets related to another only child. What happens with them? The only child with a first child. So what happens when an only child gets together with an older child? You want to see fireworks, right? And we're going to talk about that. What happens when an only child gets together with a second child? That one sounds like it's going to work. We're going to go look at that as soon as we get back. And so on and so forth. And we're going to go right down to what happens when a fourth child meets a fourth child. What do you think happens when a baby meets a baby? Right? When a baby child meets a baby child, what do you think they do? When the youngest one in the family meets the youngest one in the family? Well, all of this we will look at when we get back from our break. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind on WBAI. We'll be back with you in a few minutes. after a station break and some hefty music.
This is Piers Vicini in New York City.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions,
okay, Armand,
and observations.
We're going back.
That's
five,
TalkBack right
four,
here on WBAI,
three, two,
New York.
Go.
She's got a smile on her
sweet child of mine. That's why. Oh. Oh.
Here, it might probably a little small. It might probably a little small. Ella, Edge, turn around.
That's perfect. He looks good.
That's what growing up is like. I was listening to a woman the other day say that the best time in her life was when she was in high school. She wishes she could go back to high school. She said it was the only time when I was free. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. If you're an only child, of course, there are two. There's another factor here which has to do with gender. Older sisters are very different than older brothers, and then when you get together, what happens? Our telephone number here is 212-289-2900. Okay, make your calls, and I'm going to be taking your calls. Birth order, you know, birth order is a factor. It's an important factor. But let's talk about the only children. When an only child gets together with an only child, now, mind you, this is a very, very small portion of the world, because if there's only 12% only children, how does an only child meet an only child, especially since an only child tends to be very independent? Two only children usually get along with each other, but often live in separate worlds together. Very often they'll think of, you know, well, I've got the living room, you've got the bedroom, I'm the only here and you're the only there. And they just kind of live separate lives. At home, they may do, each do their own activities while leaving the other alone. They don't pressure each other into communicating. They tend to put their own content into each other's words. You know, they listen and they expect each other to understand what they say without having to spell it out. And usually they do. Remember, the sensitivity of the only child is intrusion. Right? Don't intrude on me. And they understand I will not intrude on you. So onlys usually have a very civil kind of common respect, you know, for each other. You know, we won't cross too many boundaries. It may lead to some frustration, but not usually conflict. If they come from harmonious homes, an only can have very good relationships. Very good relationships. Except when they have children. Now, when they have children, an only doesn't really know how to share too much. And that starts running into trouble. But usually if it's mental stability there, they can handle it. But now let's look at what happens when an only child gets together with a firstborn. Now, if you're an only child male, you can make it a good relationship by understanding that the firstborn, if you're an only child male, you understand that the firstborn woman who you're related to, if that's what you're related to, is often vague about what she feels. You see, firstborns are vague about what they feel. They're thinkers. They're not very much feelers. They're perfectionists in many ways. And they don't really tell, the firstborns don't tell you what they want or need because they don't recognize it. They don't know it. And remember, in childhood, a firstborn, they had to give up their needs because it was the needs of the other children that took first place. So they didn't recognize their needs. They didn't say what they need. So now if you're an only child and you're not too much used to sharing and then you have an older child, you have to guess at what they feel. And you have to pay attention to them and you try to orient yourself to them. Now, unless you pay attention to the nonverbal cues, this could be a difficult relationship. Because you'll be trying to satisfy her as you imagine she wants rather than knowing her. For example, you may leave her alone and say, I'll just leave her alone. That's what's good for her because you know being left alone is what's good for you. If you're a woman only child, your relationship with the firstborn is likely to be compatible. because he will tend to rely on you for direction. You see, you can usually take control, and usually it's dominant and submissive male and dominant female when it's an only with a firstborn. Have I talked about you so far? This is Armand DeMille. The only with the secondborn is kind of interesting. And our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls. In fact, let's take one of your calls right now. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Well, one thing, just as a point of interest, is that the Barbara and George Herbert Walker Bush had six children. Five are still living. In regards to children's position, my observation from thinking about every...
How many daughters did they have?
They had one who died and one who is the baby of the family.
So how many daughters?
Two.
They had two daughters also. Now we have this funny phenomenon, right, which is that every president has two female daughters?
Well, that's interesting.
It could be. I mean, it's just the way it works. No, right? Yeah. There's an exception.
Right.
Clinton had one, right?
Right?
But okay, but it just seems like there's an abundance of female offspring to firstborn presidents.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's go. So second thing you were going to say to me. Thank you very much for the clarification.
Okay. The second thing is that, you know, I have spent some time over the years looking at the birth order, and my general observation for almost everybody I can think of, either their children or, you know, adults, in other words, these people who are my age or whatever age they are, anybody I know, and I know a little about their family and themselves, is that the first child is usually more intelligent. But I generally do not find them to be meticulous or the more successful. You know, many of the qualities that you were talking about, I don't see that. As a matter of fact, I see most of them as being, and not all, but I would say just off the top of my head, very general, 80% to be more difficult, more troubled.
All right, now we have to look at what your position is.
Okay.
Where are you?
Child, you mean?
Yeah, what's yours?
Well, I was number three out of seven.
Okay, so number three out of seven kind of puts you in that middle position, you know what I mean?
No, because I'll tell you what, in my mind, because I looked at that also, because my mother had seven, but according to what I've learned about this kind of theory, there's three separate groups in my family because there were...
The age difference?
Five, you know, there was like more than 5 years between, let me see.
Okay, well, listen, before we get too complicated, because we'll lose half of our audience.
Okay.
The point, what's your name, by the way?
Kathy.
So, Kathy, you're saying that a lot of the firstborns you found, even though almost all the presidents are firstborns, but you have found a lot of firstborns. Number one, they're intelligent, but it's not a creative intelligence. Now, that's what's really important because, you know, they tend to be repetitive. They tend to be doing what their parents did. These are junior parents. These are second to their parents. These are the people who are trying to get their parents' love by being leaders among their family. So it's an intelligence, but it's not the kind of intelligence leads to creative genius, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying that they seem to be extremely bright to me.
Yeah.
And they're generally obviously, or at least they display an intelligence that seems like a much quicker than other siblings.
And it's usually, and you know, like you said, intellectual. Would you say that if you were to think back of it, emotionally intelligent, emotionally fluid,
no.
Or is it intellectually fluid?
No. Emotionally, I think most of them that I can think of are kind of damaged.
Yeah, numb. Emotionally numb, you know, intellectually damaged. Perfect qualifications for presidency. Thanks for calling in, Kathy.
All right, thank you. Bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. I wish they had a heart. You know, it's the mind that we elect. We elect the mind. We don't elect the heart, you know. And then they learn how to show you heart. They learn how to wear a heart on their sleeves. They learn how to pick out a cutout of a heart and say, well, you look at them and you say, oh, look how caring they are. But it's really the mind that you're always electing. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Yes, you're there. Somebody's opening and closing a door and waiting to be on the air right now.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Hi. Sorry for the delay.
Sure.
First, I want to thank you for being such a radiant, compassionate guide. You're just tremendous.
Thank you. Where were you just now?
I was leaving a house from my work.
Uh-huh. So when you heard that you were on the air, did you have to go to another room?
I wasn't sure, so I'm outside now. I wasn't quite sure. I missed my cue. Sorry.
It's okay. I was just curious what all the sound of the creaking door was.
Yep.
Good. Okay, so tell me. Thank you very much for your compliment.
You're welcome.
And what's your name?
Nancy.
Good, Nancy. Thank you much.
Okay. I have a question about birth order, because I keep trying to, of course, find myself in the place. And I'm fourth out of five, but I'm really kind of like a number one because there was a five-year difference between the
Yes,
first
yes. Our last caller alluded to that. It kind of happens because when there's a big age gap, and usually the theory used to be 7 years. Now I think the theory is five-year difference. So if there's a five-year difference, you really don't have – you have an older sibling for a short period of time, but not for very long. So it almost makes you an older child in a way.
Yeah, I kind of – because I feel like I'm the first, but I still suffered – the effects of being somewhat of a middle child from my siblings, you know, picked on, et cetera, and that kind of stuff. It's just kind of hard to lay out the...
Well, you know, how much of that you get has a lot to do with how close your parents were. If your parents were bonded and really loving of each other, the older children don't tend to do that as much to the younger children, you know? How are your parents? They sound like they were pretty... messed up.
I guess you could say, you know, it's funny because when I reflect, I can say, well, it seemed like, you know, everything was regular. But my father, for being a working man, as we were growing up with five children, he worked a lot. And when he had time off, he golfed and fished because he looked for solitude. But, it certainly wasn't the most functional of situations. And then he died when I was 13. So we had a bunch of young people still trying to find their way.
Pretty difficult to get through all that. Pretty difficult. It's a pretty difficult family structure to get through, and it puts additional stresses on it. And it puts stresses on the kids, and so, you know, they kind of lay it towards you as well.
I'm still working on it.
So not hard to predict. Did you get married?
I did not get married. I am what's referred to as a serial monogamist.
Okay, and your last mate, what was his or her position?
He is a second born, and we've been in a relationship for some time now. That's somewhat troubled. He's the second born, and really, I think the father of the son of a father that you mentioned yesterday.
Wanted to kill him.
That wanted to kill him.
Right.
And it's difficult for both of us separately, obviously, for those backgrounds.
And it's amazing how you get together. You know, it's amazing how we all get together. It's amazing how we find each other through all of the damage to be able to touch fingers in the crawl space, which is what I see sometimes. You know, I think of us as being in a crawl space, and we're trying to reach out to each other. It's kind of amazing. So, although it gets to be a tough at times, if you try to remember your position of where you were, although yours is very mixed, it very often helps.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like really both of us now, we're trying to reach out to each other, and you know, touch doesn't quite get there.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the words. The words don't do it, you know? Sometimes you just got to do something like go rowing together or do something together and not depend on the words, because you try to talk things over, but the words get in the way.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It's a song, right?
It's a song, right. It's, We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
You can give it a shot. Thanks so much again, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hey, peace and blessings, Armand.
Hey, Rashida, how are you?
Here.
Rashida, how are you? Good.
I am blessed and highly favored, grateful for the miracle of Armand. Listen, how about number four, with seven younger siblings, three older, all no more than 11 to 13 months apart. However, the oldest one, who was quite mean, was an only child for 6 years, and then the 11 came. And she was very succinct, like you say, sometimes they're vague and they don't really know what they want. This sister of mine would let us know, I only wanted a brother. I don't know where all the rest of you guys came from. So she clearly let us know that I'm not really feeling all the rest of you, especially when I got to babysit, I got to take you to school, I got to do all of this. So that's this amazing. So you didn't touch upon that, the big 12.
Yeah, you know, it gets really complicated when you get in those big families because cycles tend to repeat themselves. Mm. You know, cycles tend to repeat. Then the family missing ingredient sometimes appears. Sometimes a child appears with a kind of rebellion that's saying to the whole family, look, we need some special attention. And a child, a problem child, will be born.
That's
so
me.
That, what? Yeah, so you
that's
could be the focus of the family healing. And the family gets together to try to heal, even though they're healing the problem child.
Mm.
They're healing themselves in a way.
I definitely was the white sheep.
Yeah, the white sheep. Rashida, nice to hear your voice
always,
again.
Always, always.
All right,
always.
Thanks for calling
okay,
in.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. You know, thirdborns and thirdborns, when they get together, the most competitive of relationships. Two thirdborns work to please each other, understand each other, and overlook each other's idiosyncrasies, but they are usually caused by one of the other person bringing children into the relationship. It gets very difficult. A thirdborn who marries and brings children with them, they can have real problems. Because they're in defending his or her children, the thirdborn may attack the other emotionally. And this is like, so thirdborns getting along with thirdborns, it should be a natural. They should be really good, except when they turn on you. And when they turn on you, it's really vicious. And even thirdborn couples who have children together, they tend to overprotect their children. They don't know how to do it. Armand DeMille, another call, 212-209-2900. Hi, let's take another call. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Armand. What a fascinating subject. I've always been interested in the birth order. Just quickly, did you get my picture of Lucy?
Yes, I did.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Okay. I joined the show this afternoon in media res, and so I did not hear if you talked about a middle child.
Yeah, we were talking about the middle child.
I missed that.
And a middle child's position. Well, you could always go to the website.
I don't have a web.
All right.
So what could you... I'm a middle child.
I can't do it now. I've got 2 minutes left and I'm taking calls.
Pardon me?
I can't do it now because I have 2 minutes left.
No, you don't have to. Okay, I just... My theory is, goes along with Alfred Adler, that middle children and only children always have problems in life.
Alfred Adler was the guy who started this, you know?
Yeah. And okay, thank you.
And he made good shoes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209. That's for those... You don't know what I'm talking about, do you, Stephanie?
With the shoes?
You never heard of Adler shoes, right?
No.
No, that's before your time. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. One more call, and then we'll be off the air. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. First, I want to say good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
And I want to let you know how my husband and I enjoy your show a great deal.
Well, I'm really glad.
Two quick comments. I'm the only child. I'm the firstborn for my dad, and the only child for my mom.
Hmm.
Never had great relationship with either of my parents because I was raised with my great-grandmother. Which I applaud her dearly. She's deceased now. I have great values, you know, from her. But then at age 11, I was given back to my mom, which that was a disaster.
Love you know, mom, you know, really. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the program. I hope during our next program you call in to talk about this, but you're saying something so important. When it gets to psychodynamics and factors like you're talking about being shifted from parent to parent and home to home and being brought up by your grandparents, you got to throw it all out the window. All the theory doesn't make a difference. It's each our individuality and how we adjust. So my congratulations to you and your husband for being sensitive people. I love it. And I wish I could answer all your questions, but I think we're going to run out of time on this one. But feel free to call me, Armand DeMille, and you can always get in touch with me by email, armand@brainlink.com. And I'll be back with you all on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Back with you then. Thank you.